remember Christmas as a child, decorating the family tree, carolers at the window, and drinking hot chocolate in front of a glowing fire. Relive those wonderful times again this holiday season, right here on Radio America.
Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, one and only one is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. That one cigarette is Philip Morris. Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen, to remind you, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all. From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Bert Hilton, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, our singing star Dick Farney, the music of Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Nelson. Ladies and gentlemen,
I never heard you better.
Ladies and gentlemen, in recognition of last Friday's championship fight, we salute prize fighting. We now bring you a comedian who started out to be a pugilist and ended up just being Pew. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you, Waxy. And good evening. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gallup, what a fight that Walcott-Lewis fight was. I was in Walcott's corner giving him advice.
Oh, what strategy. He played the game of stay away. That's why Jersey Joe is alive today. He kept him up for 15 rounds. What kept him up for 15 rounds? His suspenders did.
His suspenders did. Oh, Berle, nothing. Don't go away, folks. Lots of funny commercials coming up. Or yaks.
Berle, were you actually in Walcott's corner?
Repeat that, Mr. Gallup.
I say, Berle, were you actually in Walcott's corner?
Great delivery. No material, but great delivery. Was I in Walcott's corner? Who do you think helped him on with his glove?
He wore just one glove?
Sure. In the other hand, he held a rear-view mirror. I made a bet on that one. I lose. Mr. Gallup, I will let you in on a little secret. Joe Louis was afraid to win that fight. He was scared stiff.
Joe Louis was scared? Well, who wouldn't be?
Just before he went into the ring, they told him if he won, he'd have to fight John Garfield.
Oh, now, tell me, do you think John Garfield could beat Joe Louis?
Beat him? Are you kidding? Did you see Garfield in Body and Soul? Why, John Garfield could beat Joe Louis with both Warner Brothers tied behind his back. And you stand there with your low basal metabolism hanging out. And you ask me, can John Garfield fight? Let me repeat that for the West Coast. By the way, Mr. Gallup, were you at the fight Friday night?
Friday night?
Yes.
Berle, are you mad?
Well, I just asked. What's with Friday night?
Why, that was Rimsky-Korsakov night at my club.
Oh, what?
Yes. The Mount Kisco Mendelssohn and Mandolin Club.
Mount Kisco Mendelssohn and... Oh, that's jazzy. That's humdinger-ish. What happens at your meetings?
Well, the meeting opens with an hour or two of magic lantern slides.
Yes.
Showing the Danube at various stages of the tide.
Yes.
And then comes the highlight of the meeting.
What is it?
Yasha Heifetz takes out his violin, out of the case, that is, and plays the Flight of the Bumblebee. Most unusual.
What's unusual about Yasha Heifetz playing the Flight of the Bumblebee?
He plays it with just the case.
With just the case? Well, I think if he plays his cards right, he can get a shot on We the People. Or get shot by We the People. And what the... Get shot by We the People. All right, I'm not hope. And,
What happens next at your meeting?
Well, we all get busy with our pencils and paper and work on our big music contest.
You have a music contest?
Yes. They're giving a mink coat for the best definition of Carmen Lombardo.
And tell me...
We're getting off to a lull, aren't we?
How does the meeting end?
Well, it's most impressive. Mm-hmm. We all put on our Toscanini buttons, the lights are lowered, mm-hmm. and as the organ strikes up Hail to the Chief, we all face the podium where a spotlight is shining on a marble bust of Spike Jones.
You know, Mr. Gallup, sometimes I think you have as much fun as people who are alive. And now that we've chased all our listeners, to another network, let us get on with the program as we salute Price Fighting. Price Fighting, the manly art of self-defense. History is studded with great fights. Corbett and Fitzsimmons, Jeffries and Johnson, Dempsey and Tunney. But where are the great fights today? Right on this program, every time my option comes up. Today, looks like it won't come up. Today, the big battles take place in great arenas. Madison Square Garden in New York. Soldier Field in Chicago. Ciro's in Hollywood. Yesterday, that's a Hollywood joke. Yesterday, should have stayed out there. Today. Don't go away, I want to laugh at this one. I do that to keep him getting lonesome. Today, you recognize a fighter by the badges of his trade. When you see a man on the street with cauliflower ears, a flat nose, and a dazed look on his face, it means just one thing. He was a contestant on Truth or Consequences. So tonight, we salute the mighty gladiators of the ring. Ah, Mr. Gallup, tonight takes me back to my own experience in the prize ring.
Burr, you were a fighter.
Mr. Gallup, you have never heard of Milty, the Marshaloo Mauler? It was several years ago that I was anxious to get into radio, and timidly, I opened the door of a big agent's office.
Well, come right in.
Yes, Mr. Lassfogle. About my getting on the radio...
Well, I'm getting you on the radio. Why am I doing this?
No.
Because I like you. I like your personality.
Eh?
The first time I saw you, I liked you.
Eh?
I like you now.
Eh?
I like you.
Well, gee. See, that's right.
Well, I'm sending you out to a training camp to get you into shape. I'll get you punching bags, sparring partners, purple trunks.
No, wait a minute. I want to get into radio.
Well,
yeah?
Who likes you?
You do.
Right. I like you. So listen to me.
But, sir, you...
Forget it. I like you.
Well, the next thing I knew, I was out in a training camp, doing road work, skipping rope. My agent dropped in one day while I was working out with a sparring partner.
Stop, Slugger.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Lassfogle. Make him stop.
That's enough, Slugger. Beat it.
Oh, all right.
Mr. Lassfogle, thanks.
You know something?
What?
I don't like him.
You don't?
No, I like you. Kill me. I like you.
Mr. Lassfogle, what's with this training? I just want to get on the radio.
Well, remember what I told you the first time I saw you? I said I was getting you on the radio.
That's right.
Remember what else I said?
What?
I like you. I like you even more now. And you know how I feel about people I like?
No.
I like them. I like you.
I don't know what to say.
Say you like me.
I like you.
I like you, too.
I like you, too.
Yeah, but I like you first.
Well, time dragged slowly at the training camp. Then one day, I received an important telegram from Mr. Lassfogle. It said, I like you. 2 days later, I found myself sitting on a stool in the ring at Madison Square Garden as an announcer said,
And in its corner, in the purple trunks, Milty the Mauler!
Mr. Lassfogle, what is this?
Did you hear that crowd? They like you. And why not? I like you, too.
But you said...
And in this corner, weighing 370 pounds, in the leopard skin with a ring through his nose, Gorilla Gordon!
Gorilla. Let me out of here.
Gorilla, that's just a name, Burl.
The name? Then why is he sitting there eating bananas with his feet? All I wanted to do is to get on the radio.
Okay. Oh, in the center of the ring, the gorilla is winding up.
No, I can't look. Here it comes.
a knockout. Milk see them all are as out cold. Ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience, maybe we can get Burl to say a few words. Mr. Burl.
I can't buy you again.
Mr. Burl, won't you say a few words into the microphone?
Hello, Ma. Hello, Pa.
It was a great fight. Who won?
Really, see? What did I tell you? I finally got Milton Burl on the radio. And you know why I did it?
Because you like me.
No, because I hate radio.
Oh.
From New York to California, from Louisiana to Oregon, from city after city all over the country, eminent nose and throat specialists make this report. Listen.
We are convinced Philip Morris is definitely less irritating than any other leading cigarette. That's why to patients who smoke, we suggest change to Philip Morris.
Yes, that's professional advice and good advice to every man or woman who smokes. Change to Philip Morris. Because the cigarette that gives you the least irritation is the cigarette that gives you the most enjoyment. After all, it's pleasure, deep, rich pleasure that counts in smoking. And the full measure of smoking pleasure is yours to enjoy day in, day out in Philip Morris. That's why we say, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
That was Student. played by Ray Vlott and the Philip Morris Orchestra, and wonderful Ray. And Ray, do you know why you're such a success today? Because you have rhythm?
No.
Because you have smoothness?
No.
Because you have Petrillo?
Yes. I want to say they got a great band of musicians, really. They eat together, travel together, sometimes they play together. And now, I'm only kidding. You know I love your madly.
And now, as we continue our salute to the boxing profession, we present...
Prize fight forum tonight. The question, should the next Lewis Walcott fight take place at the Roseland Ballroom?
Nothing. Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Now, let us commence with questions from the audience. Let's start with this elderly gentleman with the flashlight looking for his teeth. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burl, I'd like to train you. I think I could make a killer out of you.
A killer? You're a fight manager?
No, I'm an exterminator.
Thank you, Hal Roach. Now, let us go on. All right, this young man in the third row wearing a strapless tuxedo. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Thomas E. Dewey.
Thomas E. Dewey?
Don't confuse me with Dewey, the governor of New York.
Oh, I won't do that.
I'm the Gabby one.
I see.
I just took the name Dewey because I wanted to get out of the public eye.
What was your name before that?
General Myers.
All right, Dew. You have a question that has to do with fighting.
Fighting? I hate fighting. I didn't come here to fight with anybody.
I know, but...
What are you, a wise guy or something, going around starting fights?
No, I just...
Why don't you pick on some of your own size instead of always fighting women and children?
Now, look...
You come one step closer. I'm not too flatter than your joke.
Wait a minute.
I pull on your tongue so far, watching you will investigate you for waving a red flag.
If you'll just...
I want you to sit down so low there. Pick him. Dr. Dew,
look, please.
Now, you're sick of brass knuckles.
Let us try to control ourselves. Let's hear from the fairer sex. All right, this lady in the aisle emptying her vacuum cleaner bag. Madam, what is your name?
Hello, Finney. I'm a homemaker.
And you have a question that has to do with prize fighting?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from trying to be a fighter? He's still getting punchy.
Your husband is a fighter?
You hated Jersey Joe?
Yes.
My husband's Chicago Small.
What made your husband become a fighter?
Someone told him he's got the stuff fighters are made of.
Yes?
After his first fight, the stuff was spread all over the ring.
That's, you're joining my club tonight, aren't you? Well, that's awful.
That's the night he fought in the tournament. He got a cup.
They gave your husband a cup?
Yeah, to put his teeth in.
I get it, but why was he so anxious to fight?
He was just itching to get into the ring.
Oh, he has ring fever?
He had ring wine.
Mrs. Feeney.
You should have seen him the first night that he appeared at the garden. He was a sensation the minute he took off his robe.
He was a sensation?
Yes, I forgot to put on his trunk.
Well, no wonder.
He's always trying to win the championship to some tournament. Last week, he finally got presented with a belt.
Around the waist?
Across the mouth.
I understand. Is your husband still fighting?
Yeah. The other day, he came home in an ambulance. His bones was broke. His body was black and blue. He sure was a mess.
He got this from fighting?
Yeah, Christmas shopping.
Thank you, Mr. Feeney. Thank you. And now, as a fitting climax to our form, tonight it is an honor to present a great hero of the prize ring. That mighty contender for the heavyweight title, 250 pounds of brute strength and dynamite, Walloping Willie Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. This is indeed a glorious opportunity. I want to thank my many loyal fans who have so lustily cheered my artistic endeavors in the ring, out of the ring, and stretched out across it.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Bell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way here, I picked up a Hershey bar. I think I strained myself.
Well, Mr. Featherfield, a Hershey bar isn't heavy.
Well, this one had nuts in it.
Well, Mr. Featherfield, will you tell us a little about how you started in the ring?
Oh, I was going great, Mr. Burrow. I won my first 23 fights, then I wanted to quit.
Why?
They wanted me to fight a man.
And since then, it's been pretty tough, huh?
Mr. Burrow, I've been on the canvas more than Hitler's mother.
What seems to be your trouble?
My hands always got sore.
From hitting your opponent?
No, the referee was always stepping on him.
Oh, now, come now, Willie Featherfield. I understand you once fought the great Joe Louis.
How about that?
Yes, how about that?
Yes, Mr. Burrow, I'll never forget that night. When I got into the ring, the crowd gave me a great ovation.
A great ovation?
Yes. They didn't think I'd show up.
Oh, don't be modest, Mr. Featherfield. The records show that 10 seconds after the fight started, you had Joe Louis flat on the canvas.
Yes, he tripped over my body.
Well, what happened after that?
In the middle of the fight, I saw someone I knew in the 10th row.
Who was it?
Me.
Mr. Featherfield, just how do you explain your failure in the ring?
Well, Mr. Bell, before every fight, the referee instructs us. No butting with the head, no scratching, kicking and biting, and no hitting below the belt.
Yes?
Mr. Bell, those are my best punches.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. Dick Bonney to sing his latest recording.
How soon will I be seeing you? How soon? Thank you.
Mr. Gallup, originally I was supposed to do the singing on this program. You didn't know that, did you?
What?
Well, two things stopped me. The sponsor's hands around my neck. The sponsor's hands around my neck. Who's out there in the audience tonight? Miss Hush? You know, Mr. Gallup, every man should learn the art of self-defense, especially against these muscular guys with strong grips. You know the type. They shake hands with you like they hadn't eaten in 6 months and your hand was a salami. And I remember not long ago, I was up at the Friars Club talking to one of these iron-fisted guys. Well, it's been nice seeing you, George. So long.
Wait, I don't like to say goodbye without shaking hands, Milty. Put it there.
Oh, no, George. Some other time, please.
You refuse to shake hands with me?
No, it isn't that. I just... Well, all right, shake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here's your hand.
Never mind. Just give me back my ring and throw the rest away.
Hold on.
That settles it. That settles it. I've got to develop a strong grip. I'm going to find a gym. I'll show that gym. This must be the place I saw advertised. The door says Boot Bender's Bodybuilding Academy. We put a muscle where you used to have a bustle. This is for me. I'm going in. Oh. Pardon me. I'm Milton.
Stop! Yeah.
Don't move. Just let me look at you. Those bulging muscles. That magnificent body. Anyone can see that you're one of our students.
Student? I haven't even started yet.
What a disgusting mess. What's holding you up?
I'm wearing starch shorts.
Look, I want to develop a very strong grip. How much money will it...
Money, money, money. Who mentioned money? All we're interested in is developing healthy bodies for the future of America.
That's right.
How much have you got?
Now, wait a minute. Stop. Wait a minute. You're ripping my pocket. I'm getting out of this clip joint. Let go of my lapel. Let go.
Sabo, your body is just crying for muscle. Step into Dr. Glucose's office right here. He'll give you a free examination. If you're healthy, go home. We don't want your money.
Well, if you're giving a free examination
this way... Dr. Glucose, this is Milton Berle.
Lay down, I'll operate.
No. This guy's a butcher. Let me out of here and forget about the examination.
What? Dr. Glucose gives a beautiful examination. Doctors with licenses couldn't do better.
He hasn't got a light here. Let me out of here.
Relax, Mr. Berle. I'll measure your chest. Chest normal, 18 inches.
Chest normal, 18 inches.
Take a deep breath, Mr. Berle. Chest expanded, 12 inches.
Now,
let's take a sample of your blood. Where's that ice pick I just had? Oh, yeah.
But doctor, ouch!
Very strange.
Doctor, what's wrong with my blood?
It's got a head on it.
Who needs blood? All I want is a pair of strong hands. Crushing hands. I want to be able to take that door to take it,
easy.
And break it,
easy.
And turn it around,
easy,
well,
easy,
and take it and take the knuckles.
Easy now. For $60, what hands we'll give you. You'll be able to open a Pullman window with your pinky.
That's it. I want to grab a hand, and I want to take your knuckles and break your knuckles. And take it and turn it around and break your knuckles.
Mr. Berle, how's that exercise going for developing your grip?
Oh, great. Watch me. Easy, Elsie. Oh, brother, look at the size of my hands. They're like manhole covers.
Oh, wait till I get a hold of that George. I'll take his hands and put them with him. And I'll take him and I'll break him.
You're a carpo.
Give me my money back.
Just look at you. With those two huge hands hanging from those thin spaghetti arms of theirs.
Give me my money back.
Now, for $50, we'll guarantee you a 5.5-inch bicep. That's 5 inches more than you got now.
Bicep. That's for me. Oh, the next time I shake hands with somebody, I'll take your hand and I'll break it. I'll take your knuckles and I'll break it in a...
Up high in the air with your arms, Mr. Burrow.
There.
Reach up higher.
How's that?
Higher.
How's that?
That's too high. Now your feet aren't touching the ground.
Yeah. Look at my arms. They're bigger than Tony Galindo's neck. With my grip, I'll take the guys and you'll put them with
you. Look terrible.
Yeah. Give me my money back.
Mr. Burrow, look at yourself. With those two huge muscular arms hanging out from that weak, puny chest, you look like the entrance to a cellar.
How much for the chest?
$50 and we throw in the hair.
Chest, biceps, grip. Hey, you know, I'm getting afraid of myself.
Oh, Mr. Burrow, get a load of that chest.
I think we overdid it. I'm getting to be a regular sweater burrow.
Turn me loose. I'm ready. I'll take that guy's hands and I'll take it.
Break
your knuckles off.
Wait.
Now we have to work on the legs.
The legs? Give me my money back.
But just look at your legs. They're like disappointed cows. No cab.
Okay, as long as I can take that guy's hand and I'll take it.
Let's rest just for a minute.
Well, we must do our road work.
So we've been running steady for 7 weeks. Back in Michigan, you said I could rest when we got to Ohio. Look, it's Nebraska already.
Nebraska already?
Yes. Okay, you can put me down. Boy, what a brute I am. Let's get back to New York. I can't wait to spring this grip on someone. I pity the first guy I meet. I'll take his hands and I'll break it. And I'll turn his muscles and I'll break it.
Here I am. Wait till I shake hands with that girl.
I can't wait till I meet the first guy who says hello.
Hello, Mr. Burrow.
Johnny. It's little Johnny from my Philip Morris radio program. What do you say, Johnny?
I said hello, Mr. Burrow.
You did? You said hello? I can't. It's a sin. See you later, Johnny. I'm looking for someone.
You know, a nice show you had last week, Mr. Burrow. Let me shake your hand.
Shake my... Mm. He's kidding.
Okay, you asked for it. There's my hand. Shake, Johnny.
Oh! My hand! I'm going to get my money back.
Got a strong grip.
Thank you. I'll be back just as soon as I can get my hand out of this cast.
In the meantime, remember this. You're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. And here's why.
First, you enjoy the pleasure of smoking the world's finest premium tobaccos, mellow and mild and superbly blended. And second, you enjoy the extra pleasure of smoking the one, the only leading cigarette recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. Yes, you're twice as sure of twice the pleasure when you smoke Philip Morris. So next time you call for cigarettes, call for Philip Morris, made in America by Americans to please American taste.
This is your boyfriend Milton saying good night. We're a little late. Good night, everyone.
Look for me. I'll be ready for you. Come in and perfect Philip Morris!
Yes, it if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. And now, goodbye, Johnny. See you next Tuesday, same time, same station. And listen in Sunday night at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time when Johnny presents the new and exciting musical show, Philip Morris Night with Horace Height, over many of these same stations. Until then...
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.